True Blues Retold, Volume 1, Chapter 7, in which the boys failed to hear something that would have changed Bo's life forever. Now, the shocking twist they'd experienced at Uncle JJ's house had a deep effect on all our boys, and tensions were running high. But it could have been a lot worse, though, as JJ pointed out before they left.
Actually, if I was doing my duty, I should have had you arrested, Johnny. You're a wanted man, you know. You too, Randy. Even if you can't remember, sounds like you were at that last Soul Booty concert. But you know, it seems to me that you boys are the best shot we got at bringing the corn man to justice. Tell you what, if you promise to collect some evidence so we can arrest the corn man for his heinous crimes, I'll not only let you boys go, but I'll also let you use my 1972 Plymouth station wagon for transportation. You know, the big sky blue one out front. It was an offer they couldn't refuse. And so there they were, driving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, with no real idea or plan of what they were going to do when they got there. As they were thinking about this, Randy made a surprise announcement.
Look at this, guys. I pocketed those confidential mission dossiers of your uncle's before we left, Frank. I thought they might fill in some of the gaps in his story.
Oh, sure. The real Randy reveals himself. A common thief. I told you guys, we can't trust Randy.
Quiet, Bo. I can't say I agree with your methods, Randy, but I'm glad for the information. What does it tell us?
So far not much. But hey, what's this?
It looks like newspaper clippings from a couple of different cities, all from June 1977. Look, this one talks about how a town council near Jefferson City, Missouri, had voted to allocate funds to repair the damage done in their local concert hall when somebody apparently threw an anchor at the stage during a show.
This one is a week later. Some practical joker stuck a 10-foot rowboat into a locked broom closet in an Iowa University auditorium. And this one is about two kids who were hurt when some sort of ocean buoy almost landed on them while they were at an outdoor arena near Omaha.
Landed on them? What are you talking about?
That's what it says. This is really strange. What are all these articles doing in this dossier? What's the connection?
Johnny had a suspicion. He'd been to all those same towns that same June when he was following Soul Booty's concert tour. It was beginning to look like Uncle JJ might not have been sharing the whole story with the boys.
All of a sudden I feel like I could go for a jelly donut. A really big one.
No jelly donuts, Frank, but this is even better. Look, it's a Chinese restaurant. Pull over, loser boy, let's get some grub. I hope they have satay.
Johnny didn't appreciate being called loser boy, but he was feeling hungry, so he did what Bo said. It was a pretty fancy place, a little more high class than they were used to. The waiters tried to hide it, but Bo could tell they were a little surprised that one of their customers was a duck.
Ha ha, I'm a duck.
Bo started flipping through the menu, and Randy was just about to order some Mugu Gai pan when all of a sudden it happened. Bo was staring at the menu in shock, his little face turning a shade of blue-purple that Frank had never seen before. He was trembling in rage, like steam was going to come out of his ears, and finally, he threw the menu down, looked up, and screamed.
Peking duck! Peking duck! That's murder!
Well, as you can imagine, that entire restaurant stopped what it was doing and looked at Bo. The waiters were speechless. Bo was livid, and there was no calming him down. And when Johnny ordered 3 servings of Peking duck, things only got worse.
Oh, sure! Just order more helpless ducks to their gory demise, Johnny. How would you like it if I ordered Peking blues player? You probably wouldn't care, since you can barely play the blues!
Well, that pushed Johnny over the edge. He grabbed a cleaver from one of the restaurant's staff and started chasing Bo around, climbing on the table, swinging that knife like some sort of psychopath. Bo was fluttering about, keeping just one step ahead of Johnny, and throwing out more taunts every step of the way.
You know your problem is, Johnny? You got no soul. How do you expect to play the blues when you got no soul? You got no aim either. Ha!
Somehow, Frank managed to get through to Johnny and remind him that Bo was the only one who knew his way around the corn palace, and Johnny calmed down enough to put down that cleaver. Still bristling with tension, he walked out to the car. Frank and Bo started after him, leaving the stunned restaurant patron staring in mute confusion.
Wait! Don't I get my Mugu Gai pan?
But there was no Mugu Gai pan for Randy that day. Oh, no. They ended up grabbing some fast food at Burger Bob's a couple of hours later. Those boys spent the rest of the day in almost complete silence. After a long day driving, the boys pulled over to the side of the road. because it was still summer, they put the seat down, opened up the back, and all crammed in to get some sleep. They hadn't spoken barely a word since the restaurant. Even Bode realized that maybe things had gone too far and had stayed quiet. This gave him lots of time to think about himself, about who he was, where he'd come from, how he'd got there. After a whole day of silent soul-searching, he found he had something to say.
"Guys, I've been a bad duck. I've been selfish, and I've been mean. And I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I guess it's because I've had such a hard past, and it's left me fearful and mistrusting that I always lash out at you all so much. So I want you to know that I love you, each and every one of you. I love you, Johnny. I love you, Frank. I love you, Randy. And I hope you'll forgive me. Well, guys, what do you say?"
Did you say something, Bo?
What? Oh, sure! Just sleep right through my tender soliloquy. Just because I'm a duck. Ignore me pouring out my little duck soul in front of you because you just don't care, and I mean nothing to you.
Go back to sleep, Bo.
Oh, sure! You guys are unbelievable. Here I am telling you my deepest feelings, and you just treat it like it's so much nothing.
And on he went. Thing is, the others were so tired, they had no trouble falling back asleep. Eventually, even Bo got worn out. And the next thing you knew, he was dancing in a forest made of peanut butter.
Ah, it sure is a nice day here in the peanut butter forest. I love peanut butter. I think I'll just pick a jar off this tree here and eat some. Huh, let me see. Get the lid off and... There, that's done it. Hey, what are you doing here?
Dr. Spiders always appears when he's least expected, little duck. Aren't you pleased to see me again? This is a very strange dream you're having.
Dream? What are you talking about? What are you doing in my peanut butter?
Bo, you are dreaming, and I am here to drive you crazy by turning your dream into a terrible nightmare.
Ha! Why should I listen to you? You're sitting in a jar of peanut butter. In my book, that makes you the crazy one, Fruitcake. Ha!
Actually, all the boys were having pretty vivid dreams that night. Johnny was dreaming he was back in the Chinese restaurant, except that this time Bo was being served to him for dinner. In Frank's dream, he was a world-famous blues musician, playing to sold-out gigs all over the world. In real life, Johnny had been teaching him how to play the bass, but he knew he had a long way to go before his dream was gonna come true. But Randy's dream was the strangest. It was filled with a cacophony of sights and sounds that filled him with a deep sense of longing and nostalgia. Pictures of dungeons, man-eating fish, and angry soldiers were accompanied by a myriad of voices and noises that he didn't know how to make head nor tail of.
Randy, I'd appreciate it if you'd refrain from saying anything.
Randy, sir!
You're lying!
Your noble-hearted son, that I can no longer continue my life of espionage and
excellence. Oh, Veronica, why did I leave you?
Once again.
I could have been happy as a white housekeeper. I know I could have.
But when he woke up, he was sure of one thing. He was going to find his answers at the Corn Palace in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When they finally pulled into town the next evening, Frank checked them in at a local motel while Bo took Johnny and Randy to show them the Corn Palace. When Frank was finished, he got to wondering about how they were going to get into the Corn Palace, and the next thing he knew, he was hungry for a jelly donut. So he wandered into a coffee shop across the street, found his jelly donut, oh yeah, but that's not all. Oh no.
"Give me another coffee, Pete. Strong and bitter, just the way I like it."
It was a girl, sitting by herself at the counter, sad look on her face. She wasn't exactly pretty, but she cut through Frank like a knife. Now, normally, in situations like this, Frank's knees would get jellier than the donuts he liked so much. But this time, somehow he kept his wits, and without thinking, he walked right up and sat next to that young lady.
"Coffee's on me, Pete, and I'll have one just like it. Except with cream and sugar."
As you can guess, that move caught the woman's attention, and she took a long, hard look at Frank. Somehow he must have appealed to her as well, because she smiled and thanked him kindly.
"Thank you kindly, sir. It isn't often that I find such a courteous gentleman in establishments like this one."
"Oh, well, I've never been here before. Do you come here a lot?"
"I've never been to South Dakota before, but I like it so far. At least what I've seen. Oh, gosh, I'm nervous. I think I need a jelly donut." "Oh, I'd love one. Thank you very much. I find a nice jelly donut always helps me to relax."
"Really? Well, all right then. Pete, two jelly donuts, strong and bitter, just the way we like 'em." "Wow, so
If you don't mind me asking, what is it you need help to relax from? I couldn't help noticing that you looked kind of sad.
Oh, I don't want to bore you. It's just that I'm having trouble at work. It's a good job, and I get to travel, but it's just that, well, I see things, you know. For a long time I've ignored it, but it eats away at you, you know? You begin to feel that each time you look the other way, a bit of your soul gets chewed up and swallowed until you're empty inside. Like when you suck the jelly out of a donut first, and all you have left is your donut shell.
Wow, that sounds terrible. Have you thought about quitting?
Oh, it's not that easy. I don't know if my boss would ever let me go. He's not so kind and gentle as you are, Mr...
Just call me Frank. What's your name? Where do you work?
Oh, I'm sorry. Talking away like that, not introducing myself. My name is Fiona, and I work at the Corn Palace.
So there you have it. That's how Frank met Fiona. Johnny and Bo weren't too sure what to think when they saw her again, but she was real apologetic for what had happened before. Frank knew right away they could trust that Fiona, and it turned out he was right.
You're trying to get inside the palace? I can help you. The Corn Man is looking to put together a new band to finally replace Soul Booty after all these years. He's auditioning acts tomorrow. If you boys can pretend you're a band...
Oh, no problem. Johnny's a great blues player, and he's been giving me lessons. I can already play 3 chords. And I've heard Randy making groovy sounds by hitting pots and pans with wooden spoons when he's cooking, so he could be the drummer.
And I'll be the singer! It's a foolproof plan! Good thinking, Frank. Only, what are we going to call ourselves? I've got it. How about Johnny and the Peanut Butter Boys? Or how about the Peanut Butter Kings? Or how about We Ducks Like Peanut Butter?
Never mind that now, Bo. The important thing is that thanks to Fiona here, we've got our ticket inside. This is it, everyone. We can finally take the battle to him. We can finally confront the Corn Man.
Randy gave a little cheer.
Hooray!
And Johnny was surprised to find that he felt pretty good about the whole plan, too. He even grinned a little. So there they were the next day, Johnny, Frank, Randy, and Bo, heading inside the Corn Palace, getting ready to fight the biggest battle that any of them could ever remember being a part of. And when it was all over a few hours later, only 2 of them would come back out. But when they did, they would both be changed forever.